magnified the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is the last Tuesday in April. It's the 30th, 2019. In fact, Marianne, as I flipped over the calendar and we were talking about May, and I'm like, what are all these things Holly's written into this calendar? And it's like, oh, that's right, graduation. What? Oh. Esther's out of school in like 3 weeks. Summer's upon us pretty soon here. And
life just hits you right in the face right there when you turn that page.
Turned into May, so it'll begin tomorrow, everyone. In fact, during our English conversation class, I had to explain April showers bring May flowers.
Uh-huh.
You know, somebody says, wow, that really rhymes.
Yes,
that
it does.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's one of those sayings that many Americans know. And flowers are blooming. In fact, I put my hummingbird feeder out a couple days ago because usually the first week of May you start seeing your initial sighting. So I wanted to be ahead of the curve in case any early arrivals were heading through, maybe heading north or wherever they go when they pass through Illinois, maybe towards Indiana or Wisconsin. I don't know. But
love hummingbirds.
Yeah, so get that nectar purchased. I usually do about at least one third to close to half sugar to water. So I don't buy the nectar.
You
I
don't.
Just make my own little potion.
Do you boil it down? Or just,
No, I probably should, but I don't know. I've been attracting a lot of hummingbirds for many years.
Well, you get sugar and water, they'll come.
Yeah, so get those out, and you'll probably see some sightings maybe by this weekend, maybe a few early sightings. Usually about the third or fourth, I register my first sighting.
Oh, you register? You write it down?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
I did
great.
It for a number of years. Yeah. I don't think last year I did, but I know that first week of May, there's a good chance you'll see a sighting.
You know, they really are attracted to like orange and red colors. That's so cool.
Yeah. How God worked that out where the flowers bloom and how they migrate. They say the same hummingbirds, I don't know how long they live, but they'll return to the same area. So once you get them, they'll many times nest somewhere in that vicinity unless they're traveling through and you become their caretaker.
That's
so that's why I started out. It took a few years and had like three or four.
Yeah.
And there were some years I had like 50 and 60.
The children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren all came back.
Hey, that Burns guy, he really feeds that feeder. I fill it up. There was one point where I had like five of them, and every 3 to 5 days, refilling them.
That's great.
Anyways,
I love it.
They're coming through, everyone.
You're in tune with nature.
Yeah.
Hummingbirds, anyway.
Yeah, that's right. The hummingbird whisperer, I think somebody once called me.
Really?
I had one a couple times on my fingers.
Yeah,
I told that whole story walking through my house.
I love that story.
They got into the garage. One got into the garage and then had spider webs all around his beak. Anyways, he tired out because I kept going up on a ladder trying to put my finger out, and finally he landed on it. Well, finally I positioned my finger such where it was in the corner that he rested on my finger, and I climbed down the ladder. And I think it took a couple times. He flew off, and then I did the same routine. But then I finally got him on my finger, like within 6 inches from my face, because I was like, wow, that's a hummingbird right there. And he let
me... Long beef, 6 inches from your face.
Yeah,
okay.
And he let me, I was using my thumb to get the spider web off of his beak because it was all wrapped around.
It was from
around.
The feeder, right? The spider web?
No, the spider web was because he was in my garage and he got up into the corner where there were spider webs or whatever.
Okay.
So, anyways, I finally got it all off and I thought, nobody's going to ever believe that I have a hummingbird on my finger.
So you took a picture.
And I went into the house and opened the door and it let me in.
With him on your finger.
Yeah, so somebody was like...
You took a selfie.
I didn't at that time. This was probably 8 or 10 years ago.
Okay,
I don't know.
All right.
And I walked through the house, not thinking that what happens if he gets off my finger on the gut. Then I opened up the other sliding glass door, got on to the deck, and that's where I had another feeder.
Yeah.
And so I held him next to it, so he started popping his head into it. And then you see his little tongue. It's like an anteater.
They have
this long little tongue that comes out really fast out of this long beak.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
You see a hummingbird up close, and you see that little tongue going.
That is such a great story.
So, all right. And yesterday we worked on Joshua 1:8. So hopefully that one is seeping into your mind and heart as you think about not letting the book of the law depart. It actually begins with, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. then you'll be prosperous and successful. And yesterday, Jason divided that. Yeah, you got to join us with Jason, where you talked about the importance of this prospering isn't always according to our plan or our purpose or our timetable or what our wishes are. God might prosper us with character development, like patience or other things.
Or getting his will done.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Yeah, you know, Mark, I have really gained from all these different people we've had in these. Has it been 11?
Yesterday was the 11th time.
These 11 people talking about their thoughts about the verse and how to memorize and just different things.
In fact, yesterday, for those that signed up online, and if you do it today, you'll also get this, but I put the 11 speakers with the verses that they spoke on all into links, so you can hear from Dr. David Webb to anyone that's shared, Huey Freeman, Pastor
Bob
Freeman,
Dickey.
Bob Dickey, Huntley Brown, special guests that we've had that have divided God's Word with us. The past 11 sessions are all into one email, and then you click on it, and then you can hear the audio from that program.
That's great.
Sign up at greatnewsradio.org. Scroll down a couple captions, and then you'll see the book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. And then when you click on that, you can sign up, and then I'll see that you've signed up. I'll send you the special email with the 11 links for all those programs.
Well, it's interesting, because the more we've been focusing on this and listening to these verses and everything, the more memorization of Scripture has been so in front of me. I just think about it a lot.
Yeah, in fact, on Monday, Zelma Gadberry, a longtime listener, friend of this ministry, she came in and she says, is it too late for me to start on this? She goes, some of those verses. Yeah, I think you said her face or something radiated. What was the word you did? Like your present, basically.
Your aspect. I said, you have a great aspect.
Yeah, great aspect.
I was she like, does. And the daughter, too. Her daughter was with her.
Was that her daughter? I didn't know that. But she purchased a book, and she purchased one of your books.
Yeah, she did. I appreciate that.
And so she said that she was going to start working on it. And
yeah, it's not too late.
Yeah. No, it's never too late. Yeah. God's Word, you can start right where we're at, or you can go back or work on a couple a week. We're working on just one each and every week.
Yeah. And we've barely gotten started. There's a lot of scriptures left.
Yeah, there's still 89.
I know.
So
I love it.
We'll be doing this for
the
next couple of years almost.
Well,
so.
You know, it's good. We should.
Yeah, God's Word with special guests each and every Monday. And we're already working on who's going to be next week, where we'll be looking at Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So that'll be a good one.
You know, a lot of people like Psalm 119.
Yeah. That'll be.
It's that long one, isn't it?
Yeah, the longest.
I thought so.
150 verses, I think.
Let's not memorize them all at once. I can't handle that.
Yeah, the Navigators, I was telling you, years ago, they had us memorize Psalm 119, 9 and 11. And 9 goes, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Uh-huh. And then the one that we're all working on, well, we'll be working on next week, is I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
But that was speaking to how can a young man, David was penning these words centuries ago.
Right.
But it applies
it's a good
for women.
It's a good standalone scripture, too. How can I not sin? So, hide your word in my heart.
Hey, update on the D.C. trip.
Yeah.
Briefly, I think we will begin a waiting list real soon. Mm-hmm. We only have one or two openings left.
Oh,
I'm waiting
that
to hear back
up.
For a few people. But, yeah, we'll have a full bus load would take 55, but I think we're going to cap it at 53. So if somebody needs to lay down in the back, there'll be additional extra seats.
That's thoughtful.
And if somebody is not feeling well and they need more room or whatever. But we'll be taking a deluxe motor coach to Washington, D.C. It's a 6-day trip, 5 overnights in hotels, 17 meals. It's all you can imagine you'll get to experience in Washington, D.C. Great itinerary with happy trails. In fact, I'm so excited. I'm bringing Esther along with Holly, my brother Stu and Trista, my Sil sister-in-law is going to be flying in from Arizona to join us. And
well, that's
it'll
a,
be
great family
group.
Event.
Yeah, the Burns clan will be highly represented there along with other great friends.
Along with 40 other people.
Yeah, that's right. So if you stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, you'll see a little information about the trip. But like I said, I've already posted there may be a waiting list started soon. But it looks like we're very firm on the 49 that are all signed up and ready to go.
What dates is this?
It's like October 5th, October 6th. Yeah. Oh, hey, let me look at this.
I'm sure you'll get that figured out for
you. Yeah, I haven't had to worry about it because it's filling up so fast. October 6th through the 11th.
There you go.
So I would think within a few days when the word gets out, it'll fill up, and then we'll start a waiting list. But I think one bus is best, and we'll have some orientation meetings and gatherings in the days ahead. But yeah, so exciting times. Oh, let me do one last shout-out, because I think we're going to just be reading one of your chapters today out of Memories of an African Son, The Speaking of Words. Mm. Ah, a lot can be said about that.
Yeah, but,
Benjamin's Family Restaurant in Covington,
Indiana. Oh, you were talking about that earlier.
Oh, was it great? I'll tell you how this God sighting worked out. So I went to meet with Jared. He's the administrator at the Waters of Covington, a retirement center, retirement home, providing a lot of services and such. And so I went to go meet with him and had some very interesting conversations. I'm hoping that the Waters of Covington will advertise in our Prime Life Times paper.
So
that would be great. But came to learn that he's also authored many different publications and blogs and has done a lot of writing and was very interesting. He said, what topic do you want me to write on?
That's great.
So we're kind of talking that all through. And so as I was getting ready to leave, he said, hey, do you have your papers at Benjamin's Family Restaurant? He either said that or he said, like, if you don't have your papers at Benjamin's Family Restaurant, that would be a good location because of the clientele and such.
So you hurried right over there, didn't you,
Mark? As I left, and it was right down the street.
I knew that.
And then I thought, you know, I should go in there. And I went in there, and it was just loaded with people that I feel would read the Prime Life
Times. Enjoy that,
all ages, and it was a very busy restaurant. And I thought, you know what? I was going to go eat at the Beef House, and I was excited about that. But I thought, you know, I'll give them a try, and maybe by eating there, and I could talk to the manager, and maybe then I could get a stand in there. And you know, so I brought in a couple papers. Anyways, great service, great food.
Oh,
by the time
great.
I left, Z, that's her nickname. It's like Zelma or Zita or...
We'll find out.
But she said, just call me Z. So I'm just going to call her Z. Yeah, that's right. But they allowed a stand to be delivered.
Good.
They had a stand in there, an old thrifty nickel one that wasn't being used, but I put, I don't know, 40 or 50 papers. While I was setting the papers down, two people came by, and before I even really got them out of my hand, they wanted them.
Really?
I thought, this is a good sign.
Well, you must have put our last 40, because we were out.
Oh, out of,
all over
a lot
town.
Of locations. Yeah, with the marathon in and other people, and it was a great addition. So yesterday, Bob Dickey was here, and he was delivering papers to Richard, and Jason was here, and the team was coming and picking up papers to get them all over the area. But Benjamin's, later today, I'll be delivering some of the May additions to there.
That's great.
And just feel really good about that restaurant and the people that
I want to go try it now.
But the Beef House and then the Covington County Market, they both go through a bunch. And the Waters of Covington, I dropped off another 50 the other day, so they have a nice little countertop stand.
Now, they're associated with the Waters at Bridalbrook, right?
I don't think so. I think they are mainly out of Indiana. I don't know if they had any locations in Illinois.
Okay.
But I'm looking for great things out of the Waters, and a lot of people enjoy it. We read that letter from a few weeks back. One of the residents from over there, Norma, wrote that in on her husband, Ed, being a resident.
Yeah, you know what? We put the poem that she sent us in the paper.
Oh, that's in the May edition?
In the May edition.
Oh, great. That's good to know, because I'll be maybe later today dropping off papers.
Yeah,
We'll see if I can meet Ed over there.
Yeah.
Oh, if you live in and around Covington and could maybe help deliver some papers, I've kind of made a few trips out there, and Nancy Gill, another volunteer, has made a trip or two out there, and sometimes I can get Jerry Sefrick, he sometimes will do it, and so I'd love to have somebody more local that can keep an eye on things.
Because we can kind of meet people halfway, and then they can take the papers.
Or sometimes one of our distribution team members goes to Danville. He does a lot of locations in Danville. Brian, he could meet up or somewhere. Yeah, so if you live in and around Covington and have a half hour every week or every couple weeks to view these locations to see if they need papers and then can deliver them.
That'd be so helpful.
Yeah, it'd be a really blessing. And people are really loving the papers, and you could help this ministry in that way, give us a call, 217-367-7777. And if you're in Indiana, I tell you what, I'm going to give you an 800 number, so there would be no cost. Of course, nowadays with cell phones, I don't know if there's really long-distance bills like there used to be. You kind of have it in your package. But if you dial 1-888-333-9466, and that stands for WGNN.
That's great.
But our WGNJ listeners in Covington.
Sure.
You know, but it's 1-888-333-9466. If you can volunteer, we can work something out where you can help us deliver papers. We'd appreciate
it. That'd be great.
All right. Memories of an African Son. You know, Holly posts this on the WeChat for many of the conversational English class students, and they look forward to it, and they're probably all like, okay, Mark, we're waiting for the reading today. Can we go into the reading so we can follow along with our books, Memories of an African Son? So.
Well, I just had a taste of Holly's wonderful dessert that she made yesterday. It was just delicious.
Well, actually, that was from Sunday, and that was part of the Asian festival where I don't know how many we sold.
Oh, she brought them in Monday.
She probably had about 15 or 20 people submit all these desserts, and we were selling them all day long, raise some funds for the radio ministry.
That's great.
So that was great. All right, speaking of words, which I've had many today, take us through this chapter titled The Speaking of Words.
We all do seem to have many words. Okay, chapter 53, The Speaking of Words. The darker forms of certain religions were going on in Ghana and in Zimbabwe when we were there, just as they were in other places on earth. There were terrible rites being carried out in some places, animals being tortured for no reason, curses being put on people, and other such things. I remember the day a young man back at our mission station was in a state of great panic because a leading village man practicing the darker arts had cursed him and said that because he would not do as the local leader wanted, in 3 days he would see a snake cross his path and he would fall down dead. This was terrorizing to our friend because this leader had made similar curses before regarding others, and they had come true. We prayed with our friend and claimed the protection of the name and the power of Jesus. The third day passed. No snake was seen on any path he walked, and the young man lived. God showed great power around us many times over. Whether it is someone practicing a dark form of religion on any continent, or whether it's a father or mother anywhere calling their child by derogatory names, words matter. That parent making dire pronouncements upon their poor child about their intelligence, looks, or capabilities is doing nothing more than practicing the old, damaging art of speaking words over people. For that is much of what the dark arts are, an attempt at control by speaking words with the addition of intense, laser-like, focused thought and feeling. It doesn't matter how many rows of candles one lights, how many altars of any kind are erected, how many figurines, statues, or totems are set up or bowed down to, how many potions are mixed and spoken over, or how many psychological studies one cites as justification of what one is trying to imprint upon another person. Speaking negative or misleading words over people can be damaging. There are people this day who are living under this damage from their childhood or workplace, from cruel enemies or supposed friends, living under the effect of words said to them. And the people who spoke the hateful words are drunk on their victim's blood, on their life spirit. The tongue has the power of life and death. Proverbs 18:21. Words carry power. It would be hard to overstate their importance. They can carry a positive, life-affirming power, containers that carry truth, authenticity, and robust health into people's lives. And they can carry darkness, a deceptive web of darkness that is hard to untangle. We are responsible for our words and for what we are really trying to gain in our use of them. it is vital that we never deceive ourselves regarding our speech, pretending to be doing good while having a heart that is jealous or of ill intent. We are all familiar with those instances when we encounter someone who gives the appearance of saying something helpful or kind to us, and yet we leave their presence feeling downcast and inexplicably harmed. Or the honey-filled words that encourage us to give up when we should not. In those cases, deception and darkness have penetrated whatever words are being used, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Luke 6:45. Our words, the nuances carried in them, and the thought forms behind them spring from the depths of our heart, from our motivations. Often, what people attribute to evil spirits is simply the work of human beings, and it's often the result of their words. It does seem that evil entities and spirits can also get involved in the process. I think it's probably irrelevant to those evil spirits whether the individuals damaging others are jumping around in contortions, performing some solemn ritual, or if it's a lone, well-dressed woman in a high-rise lacerating her young teenage daughter with words that may embed for a lifetime. Evil is always after a life-damaging, life-limiting result. It may be that if an evil spirit can also manage to get an animal or a person maimed and tortured in the process, that it adds to their pleasure. I'm no expert on them, but it seems likely. Darkness seems to enjoy vicarious suffering, but I think they couldn't care less about the trappings that we associate with the dark arts, the volumes of instructions and the crafts and the arts of the trade, as they're called. I doubt it. They know what and where the real damage is. They know that when people speak words and use actions to manipulate, harm, or to control others, to impose their personal will upon others, that the dark side is winning. Yet, important as our words are, there is something that carries far more power than either our good words or our unhealthy words, a creative power above us all, whether we're human or other, dark or light, and that is the Word of God. The word of the Ancient One rules. Jesus himself, when tempted in the desert by the devil, did not try to reason and come up with a lot of arguments or insist on a big encounter. He did not wave his arms and go into fits of yelling. Jesus did only one thing when faced with those awful words coming at him. He said, three times over, "It is written," and then he recited the ancient scriptures. "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The Bible says that after Jesus spoke those words, the devil left. Just left. As it says in 2 Samuel 22:31, "The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him." The plan of Jesus, I think, may be the best to use to protect ourselves from anyone making their bid for control. Lord, keep us from trying to control things. Help us instead to turn our lives over to you and to follow your paths. Please put deep in our hearts the words Jesus said as he prayed for those following him. "I have given them your word. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." John 17:14-17.
Wow, The Speaking of Words, Chapter 53, Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. Just this chapter alone is worth the price of the book. It's a great chapter. I remember when we read it a few years ago. I know we got to go. SRN News won't wait, but it had a profound impact on me just thinking about what words do we speak and how do we use our words. And I think it's a good reminder for all of us to be careful and conscientious and concerned what words we're using, because we can produce great harm. We all know about that. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, or words cannot hurt me, but they do. We've got to be very, very conscientious of what we say and what we speak and how we can speak curse on people.
And it's not just the words, it's the motivation, what's coming through them.
Yeah, and it's really a glimpse into the person's heart, too, what they're saying. You know, it comes out of the wellspring of their heart.
Yeah.
The Speaking of Words, Chapter 53, Memories of an African Son. Well, thank you, Marianne. Thank you, listener, for tuning in and being a part of our Great News Radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.